forget, but the memories left are still haunting.
It started out as a romantic getaway for two.
We're going to this beautiful island off Mackay called St. Bees, and Jamie's been a caretaker over on this island before, and it's beautiful, and this time of year there's butterflies by the millions, and, you know, it's gorgeous. So at this stage, we're probably a kilometre away from the island, and things just started to get weird.
Then things turned bad, really bad, really quick.
I thought we were going to run aground. I didn't know that we're in this massive island that's full of rocks, and the feeling of a boat breaking up.
The story that couldn't be told for legal reasons. Until now, a story of survival with Bridge and Spider for Breakfast on Gold 92.5.
Look, it started off as a beautiful holiday with my partner Jamie. We were going to Lady Musgrave Island, which we didn't make it to there. We said, well, we're going to this beautiful island off Mackay called St. Bees. And Jamie's been a caretaker over on this island before, and it's beautiful. And this time of year, there's butterflies by the millions, and, you know, it's gorgeous. So we also knew the guy who owned the lease to this island. So the plan was to go up. We were going to use one of his boats to get over there.
Yep.
So we get to Mackay finally, and unfortunately he's very sick, terminally ill, and on top of that, both of his boats were broken down. He had a barge and another boat that ran aground because it's a pretty treacherous area. So we've gone, okay then, and he gave us some numbers of some charter operators. One of them couldn't do it. He was going to Townsville, and the other charter operator was in Bali. So we've gone, oh, okay then, we know of an island called Keswick Island next to it, and there's a ferry service that runs over there because people live there. We call it up and that doesn't run anymore. So we have just tried every option we can to get to this island, and we go down to the marina and we met some old yachties down there, and there was a whole lot of fishermen around, and we said, look, does anyone know anyone who has got a boat? We'll pay them, and if we can get to St. Bees Island. And amongst them, this captain of a boat, and he lived on his boat. It was a 22-foot yacht, so it wasn't big. And he said, yep, absolutely, I can do it. And all the other fishermen went, that's great. Good on you, mate. This is an awesome idea for you as well. And so he was vouched for, so to speak. Yep. Everyone there who were also fishermen said, he's your bloke. And also the poor bloke, he had lost his wife only 2 months earlier, and he said, this is a great thing for me to get out and have a sail, you know, so it'll be a beautiful day tomorrow, locked in. So, look, the plan was we met at 1 o'clock. We loaded the boat up, and he had a skipper there to help him as well, a deckhand. So we met that bloke. And everything was fine. Everyone was under control. We were loading the boat with all our supplies, all our food, Spider, all of your camping gear, kayaks, all kinds of stuff. And then we get on the boat. Everything's fine. We start heading over. Luckily, it was a bit of a sunset cruise. Luckily, I only had a couple of drinks because there was no toilet on the boat. So we were all very together. And we're sitting at the back and we're watching the sunset, and we've got videos too of saying, isn't this beautiful? And so about an hour into it, Jamie says to the captain, look, we're going a bit slow. I think you better, we're only doing like 2 knots. And it takes in a good fast boat a good couple of hours to get to this island. Mm. So we needed to get there before the sun came down. So we said to the bloke, hey, mate, you know, do you want to put the sail up? That might be a good idea. And he seemed a little confused, and he got up and he started putting the sail up. And finally, we had a bit of confidence that we were going to get to this island on time before the sun went down. So we're motoring along about 6 knots. We're going, this is great. And then things started just feeling off. So for some reason, the captain and the deckhand kind of had some sea legs going on, so to speak. They didn't seem as compos mentis as they were early on in the day when we got on the boat. Things started to feel a little odd. And, you know, the deckhand, he said, I've been a fisherman for 35 years. You know, this is a great day. And we're going, that's good. And he says, but I've never been on a yacht. So that was a little odd. And then the captain, we said, oh, you know, we know you've lost your wife recently, and we're sorry to hear that. And she said, yeah. And he said, yeah, it was sad, but, yeah, I've only had this boat for 2 months. So then we're starting to get quite worried.
Yeah.
And the sun's going down. And at this stage, we're thinking, okay, hopefully we get there before the sun comes down. But either way, we can navigate the area. Jamie knows the area. So at this stage, we're probably a kilometre away from the island and things just started to get weird. So for some reason, these two blokes just didn't seem in control. That's all we can say.
Didn't have the confidence in the boat.
No. And we all of a sudden didn't feel confident because you just intuitively knew that something wasn't right. Now, a weird twist to this is I always, as you know, Spider, get extremely seasick in these situations. And in this case, for some reason, I didn't, thank goodness, because knowing what was about to happen, I had to absolutely be in control. So the sun goes down. Jamie knows the area very well. I can't see. It's very dark. And there's no moon. So Jamie's like, okay, you know, this is getting dangerous now, guys. Let's get it together. We putted out too with a little outboard on the back, you know, when we first got out. And he said, okay, we better get a light. So can you get a light? Now, unfortunately, the captain, for whatever reason, took a very long time in the cabin and we didn't know what was going on. And he came out with a tiny light the size of the top of a coffee cup lid. Mm. And said, this is my light. And Jamie just went, you are kidding. Is that all you've got? Where's your lights? Where's your port and starboard? Where are your lights? Where's the spotlight?
Yeah.
And he just started to shake his head. He didn't really give us much back. So then Jamie, I could hear the panic in his voice, not knowing what was ahead for me either, but Jamie knew. And he said, all right, mate, you've got to get the sail down. It's time for you to get the sail down. So again, unfortunately, a lot of time was wasted. This bloke, for whatever reason, didn't seem in control of himself.
Yep.
So he steps up to the front of the boat and he's just stuffing around. I don't know what's happening, but all I know is that the sail is not coming down. All of a sudden as well, the waves started to get very big and the wind was very strong. It, for some reason, which is an odd thing at night too, it got to 30 knots. So at this stage, the boat is rocking, it's dark, we don't have a light. And I thought the captain went off the side of the boat. That's how legless he seemed to be.
Wow.
So I'm screaming out to Jamie and all of a sudden he just appears again and he comes and he just sits down next to the boat, next to at the back, and he just sits there and he starts shaking his head. So at this stage, Jamie starts getting, you know, agitated and obviously starts, you know, panicking because he knows that there is a lot of rocks up ahead and it's pitch black. We don't have a light and Jamie starts saying to the blokes, you've got to get it together. I mean, there's a lot of profanities happening at this stage. He's going, get it together, get it together. I know what's up ahead. There's rocks up ahead. I need you two to get it together. Get this sail down because the sail was just, we were getting pushed further and further into rocks. Now, at this stage, I'm thinking we're going to run aground. That's all I thought it was with rocks. But I didn't know that ahead was a massive cliff face of very jagged, sharp rocks with very, very deep water, about 40 metres of deep, deep water. So luckily for you, Spider, you gave me a Coleman's lantern.
Yeah.
I ran into the boat at this stage. The captain and the deckhand were just sitting there, doing nothing. And I don't know if fear kicked in for them or what, but they just seemed to wave the white flag. So I went down and I grabbed your light. At this stage, Jamie is still screaming at them, trying to shake them to get them to do something.
Did you ever think about, you know, in that condition, I know is the sail still up?
The sail is still firmly up.
Because you couldn't anchor.
We couldn't anchor. We couldn't even find an anchor. And at this stage, we are thinking, let's get the outboard in the water and start that up. So we start to try and fix the outboard. Again, Jamie is just saying to the guys, get it together, get the outboard happening. He's trying to start it, nothing.
The outboard was going earlier, though.
The outboard was going earlier, but what we now know in hindsight is that they didn't turn the outboard off, it cut out. After that, the guys are still sitting there and like I said, they just sat there and they just shook their heads. So I didn't know. I grabbed the light and as soon as I held the light up, I
You're right, Bridge. Take your time. It's all right.
This is the bit that I keep on seeing. I just keep on seeing this. So you imagine that I don't know what's ahead. I have no idea. It's pitch black. We have no light. All I've got is your light, Spider. And I hold it up and all I just see is a massive grey rock, just a massive grey rock ahead, and the light just lights it up in time. This is the bit that I keep on seeing. I just keep on seeing this. So you imagine that I don't know what's ahead. I have no idea. It's pitch black. We have no light. All I've got is your light, Spider. And I hold it up and all I just see is a massive grey rock, just a massive grey rock ahead, and the light just lights it up in time. And then, bang, the boat just smashes into this rock and it goes up and then just scrapes down it. And so I just was like, what is going on? I thought we were going to run aground. I didn't know that we're in this massive island that's full of rocks. So at that stage, thank goodness for your light, Spider, honestly, because we had nothing. We had no light. We had a sail that was still up with 30 knot winds. So obviously that wind was just pushing us into this rock and just pushing us in and pushing us in. So we tried and fixed this outboard motor, and at this stage we just can't get it working. So, you know, all I can say is that you imagine being in a car with no one steering and no one helping, and you know, like, it kind of in an accident, it's like a, it's quick, but this is like a slow doom. It's just a slow, constant, like, this is just going on and on.
What about safety equipment with like EPIRB or anything like that, which, you know, we know that most boats should realistically have?
So there was no EPIRB. Jamie found the two-way and called in the Mayday and said, Mayday, Mayday, that this boat is breaking up, you know, and gave his phone number, which was clever. So the guy, even he, all he had was a GPS thing, and we were trying to, before we hit the rocks, find the location. We're saying to the bloke, just tell her, just do something. And he just shook his head. And so it just seemed to us that he just didn't know. And like I said, it's pitch black. There's no moon. Thank goodness for your torch at this stage. That's rolling around on the ground. Jamie, because he's screaming, and I think that was the hard thing, even before we hit the rock, I heard the panic in Jamie's voice. So I knew something big was going to happen. So, and then Jamie grabs the captain by the shirt, pulls him over to the outboard and goes, mate, you need to start it. So then he just starts pumping the petrol into the boat. And I said to him, what are you doing? The pump isn't attached to any fuel. The next minute we find the fuel, it goes all over Jamie. But you have to remember at this stage too, we'd gone into like this little alcove of water. Luckily for us, the boat didn't hit sideways or it was over. So we hit this alcove of water, but because of that, we were smashing with the 30 knot winds and the sail still up. We're smashing headfirst into these rocks and waves smashing over that side. So all of this is happening whilst we don't have any control. And the feeling of a boat breaking up with you in it is just it's a very, very scary feeling that because you just don't know what to do. You don't know. You're supposed to jump. You can't stay on it. This boat is breaking up. And that's how harsh it was. And the wind and the waves were rogue. And again, at this stage, the captain and the deckhand were just sitting there. I took my jacket off and all I could think about was just grab your puffers. Just grab your puffers. That's all that matters.
Your Ventolin.
My Ventolin, because I thought, I'm going to have to swim here. And not being still, being able to really see that there's no way we could swim. And the closest beach was about 2 km away. And I'm looking at these two blokes and I'm like, what are we going to do? They can't swim. They are not. That the fear is kicked in with them. They're not doing anything. They're just like, it's like they're willing to go down with the ship and they're not seeming to help us whatsoever. In fact, they're hindering everything we're trying to do. So we're still smashing onto rocks. One of the deckhands he starts pulling his pants down, and I'm thinking he's going to jump in the water, but he couldn't even get them off. And we found out later, because he was so scared, he'd actually soiled his pants. That's what he was trying to get his pants off. So anyway, as we're smashing onto these rocks, the boat starts filling with water, and Jamie just finds, we find one life jacket. So Jamie puts it on me, and he looks at me, and he just says, he says, look, I need you to listen to me and look at me. He said, we're going to be okay. We're going to get out of here and we're going to be fine. Just listen to everything I say and just do everything I say. Just put this on. So he found some shoes that were floating in the water. Now, we had one chance, and they were really sharp, jagged oyster rocks. So we had one chance as the boat was smashing onto one side of the rocks to jump onto the rock.
Yeah.
Jamie got out first. Now, he's a surfer. He's always jumping off rocks to surf. So he knew what he was doing, and he's clever enough, got shoes to put on to be on this. But he first got on it and he realised it's super slippery. It's full of moss. It's not good.
Mm.
So he said to me, just you have to – I went to jump and he goes, not yet. And the waves weren't rhythmic. So you had to really, you know, make sure that you jumped off in good – you know, in good time to make the rock. So I didn't realise, though, at the time, and I'm glad I didn't, that if I missed the rock, I was between the boat and that rock, and there's no, you can't live if that happens, because the boat was just smashing up against it and starting to fill with water. So I jump, Jamie grabs my hand, and then I'm thinking, great, you know, I'm right, I'm okay. And then the mast starts circling and the whole boat starts turning and it starts falling right where I am, and Jamie's like, you got to get up this rock or the mast is going to hit you.
Mm.
And it's obviously you're not going to, you know, live through that. So in the dark, I'm trying to climb up these oyster rocks, and there's big gaps that go back into the water, so you just can't. You're just trying. But somehow adrenaline kicks in and you're not even feeling how sharp the rocks are.
Mm.
So then I'm sitting at the top and Jamie says, I need you to stay there and I'm going to go and get these two off the boat. And that was the hardest part for me, was to see someone I love so much risk his own life. And he, this is the kind of character, of, you know, he is. Of course, as a human being, you want to save other lives. But at this stage, we're going, these guys haven't helped at all. We don't know what is happening with them. They're still flailing around on the back of a boat that's sinking. And I was just screaming at Jamie and I couldn't help him. And I honestly thought I was going to be sitting there watching these two guys on a boat go down with a boat. And I thought if they pulled Jamie in as well, I can't watch. I just can't watch it. But I had to watch it, obviously. And that was really tough. So he grabs them. He grabs one of them and he wouldn't even put his hand out. I just don't know what was going on. I just do not know what's going on in their heads. So Jamie says, put your hand out. I need to get you off the boat. Again, as the boat's crashing on the side, Jamie had to try and pull them off. So he wouldn't help. So Jamie had to risk his life. When the boat came back to crash on the rocks, he just grabbed this guy under the pits because he was half leaning over, and had to pull him and pull him onto his chest, and Jamie fell back onto the rocks. And this guy still couldn't even put his foot on a rock or help out or try and climb up, nothing. So then when he wouldn't help, and Jamie's screaming at him because the mast started coming down on both of them as well, so I'm watching all this from a distance, just, you know, freaking out. And so anyway, he dragged him up the rock, threw him over a rock. Then the captain was stuffing around. We don't know what he was doing in the cabin. And Jamie finally said, come on, mate. He was a little bit more together, but still had to be helped off onto the rocks. And as soon as he was on the rocks, seconds later, the boat went down with your light, Spider. Wow. So we just saved them in time. But what I saw Jamie do was just, it was superhuman. I don't know how he did it. You can't not believe in God when you see something like that, I'm telling you. So anyway, we're on the rocks and thank God they had Jamie's mobile number. The
rescue
people. So the VMR stands for the Volunteer Marine Rescue. Yep. there was no way out. There was a cliff face of rocks. We're sitting there for about 2.5 hours, and the rocks were so sharp you couldn't even sit. You couldn't stand. It was, we were all cut up and bruised. And these guys are still saying, "Oh, have you got a cigarette?
Oh my God!
Have you got a beer?" And you know, this is still going on. One of them's vomiting. And he keeps on, like, falling as he's vomiting. So I'm trying to hold him so he doesn't fall back into the water as he's vomiting. Anyway, so cleverly, Jamie downloaded on his phone an SOS app that had a beeping a light that does the SOS light. So when the VMR boat came along, they could see us, so they finally tracked us down. They get their rubber ducky out and they come down. They say, okay, well, you know, you're going to have to jump in the water and jump onto... You're going to have to jump off the rocks where it's super rough into the water and onto the boat. And we said, we can't. These two are incapacitated. There's no way, whether they're in shock or whatever's going on, that we can't get them to react, yeah, to even stand, to even help themselves. So one of the VMR guys has to get off, and it's rescue number two. It's trying to pick these guys up and take them down on Oyster Rocks, which Jamie did, and get them in life jackets. And in the meantime, the VMR guys are throwing blankets and stuff for us. So then, because with the boat, all our food and meat and chicken and everything we'd packed to be over there for a week starts floating, the shark comes. So this, we just saw the fin and it was just hovering in the water. And what? Jamie calls out to the VMR guys, it says, there's a shark. There's a shark just there. There's a shark just there. So the only way to get in the boat is to jump in the water to get in the boat. And at this stage, I'm just petrified. I'm like, you want me to jump? There's a shark fin there. Like, but we had to. So that was a super scary part for me because the shark was hovering and we had to jump in the into the water, and the VMR guy had to kind of throw us out into the water so we wouldn't hit the rocks, and then swim to the rubber ducky. And the worst bruises I actually have is from the guys picking me up because I was screaming, going, "Get me out of this water!" Because remember, it's dark. At this stage too, the rescue chopper is flying ahead. Now, the reason they didn't save us is because they can't winch at night, and it was too dangerous a spot. So we finally, it's that rough that we're all saved. But again, Jamie had to help get these guys down on the rocks into the water, into the VMR boat. And he was the last one off the island, which I hated leaving him, but I was the third one off. So we get in the VMR boat and it's that rough that the volunteer marine rescue, one of the guys is vomiting. So that's how rough it is. So then we have to go around to Keswick Island, which is the island we crashed into. We didn't make it to St. Bees. And there's a runway there, and that's where the chopper was. And by this stage, it's midnight. So it was a long time being wet and cold and whatever, we're alive. We just didn't care about what we'd lost or whatever. And so then we go to the hospital and in the chopper, and then they check us out, and we're okay, and we have to obviously do police statements and the lot, which, you know, is a very factual account of what happened. And then, so it was a big night, and luckily for Jamie, he kept his phone, and luckily he also had his keys so we could get back to the van. So we left the hospital, and I'm in like a dressing, I'm in their hospital gown because my clothes were ripped and wet. And so we stop in and we get a pie, which was the best pie of my life from a servo. And we get in the car and we're just sitting in the car. We're just spinning out going, this is...
Did they end up getting the boat?
Well, all we know at this stage is the water police are recovering the boat. So that's all we know at this stage.
Have you spoken to the skipper and the captain at all?
We called the skipper who was still in hospital last week. And he said, quote, "I don't know what happened. I didn't know if I was Arthur or Martha." So we don't know what that means or what that entails, but I know one of them was saying in front of the policeman at the hospital, he said, "Oh, it was just an accident. It was just an accident." Now, you know, for me, an accident is something that's avoidable. In my opinion, this all was very avoidable. So if this was during the daylight with four capable people, it still would have been a very, very dicey life or death situation. But you add this, that in that we were not getting any help, that Jamie was a complete hero and rescued and saved their lives and saved mine. Like, there is absolutely unequivocally, categorically no way else to say he's a hero. He saved all of us. And I know 100% that none of us would be here today if it wasn't. I've never been so scared in my life. And just that feeling of...
Not knowing.
And I remember thinking, tonight's not my night to die. Please, please, not tonight. Jamie was freaking out because he thought I was gonna, I could die too, and he didn't want to watch that, and I didn't want to watch. You know, it was just it was just too much going on, and yeah. But for some reason, Jamie and I went into survival mode, and maybe it was because the other two didn't. That we were just a team. You know, we're closer than ever. Obviously, after that, so we sit in the car and I'm eating my bacon and egg pie and I'm in my dressing gown and not dressing gown, the hospital gown, and we were just like sitting there shaking our heads going, what just happened, you know, what a night. Like, that's just ridiculous what happened. And Jamie said to me, he said, I nearly lost you tonight. And I said, yeah, I nearly lost you too. And he said, just in case a bus falls out of the sky, I can't... wait anymore to ask you if you'll marry me.
Oh, no. No.
So.
Oh, wow.
The whole time he had the ring in his pocket.
No.
The whole adventure.
So you're engaged.
Congratulations. So I'm
engaged. Did you say yes?
Yes.
Yes.
I said yes times a million. So he had planned to ask me on St. B's on top of the hill with all the butterflies.
Oh,
and unfortunately we didn't make it, so.
Nothing more romantic than a bacon and egg pie.
Bacon and egg pie in a hospital gown being proposed to, and somehow it was extremely romantic because we were closer than we ever were ever. So, yeah, after that drama, I'm engaged.
Okay.